Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, Leah Mamo. Hey, what's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Not much, man. You know, just watching sports on a Sunday evening. You know what we do? We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. You know, we're going to talk about what's going on in the world of baseball, the All-Star game that just passed Tuesday night. You know, give you the latest on the Mets and the Yankees. And, of course, talk about anything that's going on in the world of sports. And, as usual, end it off with a little WWE talk about Raw and also the upcoming pay-per-view event. Give us our thoughts on that that's coming on in a few hours from now. And, of course, most importantly, the number is, of course, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call, talk about any of these topics and more. And, of course, you guys are the most important part of the show. So let your voice be heard. And with that in mind, let's talk a little baseball. Right now, the Mets, they're trying to avoid being swept by their rival Cardinals. And you know, the Mets, they lost a, you know, a hard fought game 2-1 with Syndergaard. You know, he made a few mistakes, including a home run, and that cost them the game on Friday night. And Saturday, Mets wasn't even in it at all, man. They fell by the final score of 12-2. You want me to tell you how bad this game is? The first inning, the fifth inning, and the eighth inning, they each of those innings they scored 4 runs. And I'm not making that up.
Wow.
And yeah, tonight,
pretty. It's been a pitching duel, I guess.
Except for yesterday.
Well, today, yeah.
Well, yeah, today right now, their Mets had a 1-0 lead, but unfortunately, Colton Wong homered not too long ago against Familia, who's been practically flawless as the Met closer, the rookie Met closer this year. And right now, you know, Mets are, you know, they just got Grandison stole 2 bases. You know, he played on the bench. He didn't start today. And but unfortunately, Kevin Pawlecki, he struck out. So that ended any threat of Mets trying to take the lead again. And right now, the Mets are pitching in the bottom of the 14th, trying to, you know, hold on to the tie and hopefully scratch at least a run in the top 15 if they could continue to hold the Cardinals in check.
Wow, this game, this is like becoming almost 2 games.
It is.
Damn.
In the 14 inning, every like 7 inning, they sing the take me out to the ball game. So they just finished the take me out to the ball game just
now.
So
imagine that, having to sit through a 5-hour game.
Oh,
I'd be so tired. I'd go want to go home at that point.
Oh man, I have a very similar story to that. My first ever Met game, I think it was in '99 or 2000. It was Mets versus Reds, and that game ended like 13 innings or so.
Wow.
13, 14 innings, and I think it was if I'm remembering right, it might have been in August or so. And man, that it was so cold. We were in the upper deck. It was freezing up there. The game was one. Ironically, the game was 1-1 as well. And Mets unfortunately would end up losing the game. It was at Shea Stadium, and now Mets, you know, they're trying to win, trying to salvage this last game of the road series against the Cardinals. And as you know, Mets and the Cardinals have history. Dating back, especially in the 80s, you know, during the Mets' heyday. And then most recently in 06, the Cardinals eliminated the Mets in the NLCS, which I'm still crying about internally. And then in 2012, June 1st, 2012, Johan Santana threw the first no-hitter in Mets history, the first and so far the only no-hitter in Mets history. Even though Beltran did get a hit, but the umpire didn't see it. So, you know, thank God for that. So Mets finally have a no-hitter. But right now Mets are trying to win this last game of this road series against the Cardinals. And right now the Cardinals, as we speak, Hayward's at the plate. One out and a runner in scoring position at second. And Gil Martin is going to try to hopefully keep this guy in check. Hayward, a guy who Mets fans know very well during his heyday with the Braves. And just yesterday in that 12-2 drought, he had 5 hits and he left the game. Looked like he had a leg injury, but as you can see, he's batting right now, so he should be fine. But in any case, the Mets only had in the All-Star game. The Mets only had one All-Star, and of course, that was Jacob DeGrom. He made Major League history. He was the first pitcher in All-Star game history to strike out the side with 10 pitches or less. So, you know, congratulations to him.
Yeah, congrats.
And the only guy that really outshined him, in my opinion, was Aroldis Chapman from the Reds. I mean, this guy was throwing 100, 101, 102, 103 miles per hour. I mean, I've never seen anybody throw 103 miles per hour in my life. I mean, I've seen this guy throw 102, and he did do that in the All-Star game prior to that. But, I mean, I've seen him face the Mets before, so I've seen him hit 101, 102. But 103, my God, I didn't think that was ever possible for a human being to throw a ball that hard.
Yeah, this guy has an arm. He should be much better than he is. Yeah, he should be unhittable with that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, he is practically no unhittable with the way how he pitches, man. I wouldn't throw no strikes at all.
You should have a zero ERA with that kind
zero
of stuff.
A zero ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And one guy who would definitely agree with you would be Mark Teixeira, who, man, he looked like he was scared out of his life, man.
Type of stuff, man, everybody in baseball should be scared.
I mean, yeah. I mean, this guy's throwing 103. I don't blame him, you know.
And that type of stuff. I mean, that's unhittable stuff right there that guy has.
It is. I mean, 103 miles per hour. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, like Superman throwing the ball.
Exactly, man. You know how you get a blown save off Chapman?
How?
Bring out Kryptonite when he's about to pitch.
Oh. I thought you were about to say bring out his green card.
No, I didn't go that far.
Well, is he American? I think he's American, though, right?
No, he's from, I think, Cuba, if I'm not mistaken.
Cuba? Okay. Green card then.
Yeah, I think he's Cuban or Dominican, but I'm pretty sure he's Cuban. If I'm not mistaken, he's from Cuba. I think he's a Cuban defector from a few years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then bring out his green card. That's his kryptonite.
Well, it is the same color as kryptonite, green. So
that's true. That's true.
Maybe that's what it's made out of. Who knows? By any case, man, this guy, he's awesome, man. And that dude can pitch for the Mets any day, he wants to.
For real.
But shifting gears to the Yankees, man, I know you have a lot on your mind. So, what's your thoughts on the current state of the Yankees?
Yeah, Yankees, they've been playing good. You know, right now they're sitting alone atop the AL East. And this is going to be the next few weeks. They can, distance themselves away from the teams like the Orioles and the Blue Jays and Tampa. And they have a 3-game set starting tomorrow against the Orioles. So they could push the Orioles even further down, in the division. Yankees won today 2-1. Beltran had an RBI single, and Mark Teixeira had a go-ahead home run in the bottom of the eighth to put the Yankees ahead 2-1. And today was pretty much a pitching matchup. It was Sabathia against King Felix. Both of them pitched 6 innings, gave up only 1 run. So it was tough to score over both guys today. But Teixeira had the clutch hit, that clutch home run in the eighth inning. And him, A-Rod, and McCann, those three guys have all been clutch when it comes to getting a go-ahead hit or go-ahead home run. So the Yankees have been thankful. They've been lucky because of those three guys this year. And, this win keeps the Yankees atop the division. Currently they're, I think, 3 games or 4 games ahead of Tampa or Toronto, I think. So, these next few weeks are going to be critical. They have to beat up on these AL East foes to, further themselves away. So hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah, no doubt about that, man. And, of course, they're facing the Mariners. And, of course, it marked the return of a former Yankee fan favorite and perennial All-Star second baseman Robinson Cano, who hit two home runs on Saturday.
Yeah.
And John Sterling did his classic call, Robinson Cano, don't you know? He didn't say it, you know, with the passion he usually says, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Yankees, you know, he's not wearing the Yankee uniform anymore, so.
Yeah,
but,
I'd say Robinson Cano has been a disappointment for the Mariners so far, especially this year. He's only hit like 250, then he has 8 home runs, like 37 RBIs. This is not the guy that they thought they were going to sign. I mean, this guy should be putting up better numbers than what he's putting right now.
Well, yeah, but then again, when he was with the Yankees, he was surrounded by great hitters, you know, A-Rod, Jeter, Teixeira, I mean, you name it. Granderson, you know, when Granderson was with the Yankees. You know, he was always around, you know, great power hitters, you know. So
yeah, but no excuses. I mean, Mariners signed him because, I mean, for a big contract that Mariners signed him for, he should be putting up bigger numbers than what he's putting up.
Oh, yeah,
of course. Any excuses for what he's doing.
Of course, no doubt about that, you know. But you know, that's how it is in baseball. You know, when you sign that huge, giant contract and you try to live up to it and then you press. And, yes, I'm looking at you, Michael Kadire from the New York Mets. they sign a big contract and, you know, they want to live up to it. And, you know, they struggle because of, they want to show the organization, you know, their teammates and the fans, you know, that, you know, they're worth that contract, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Cano, you know, basically if they, we knew if they didn't try to, you know, build a, you know, a dominant offense around Cano, you know. Don't you know? You know, his numbers would be like that.
Exactly.
So, you know, this isn't breaking news, but for the Mariner fans, you know, they're hoping that, you know, they can open the purse and, you know, try to give Cano some more, you know, support, you know, with the offense, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they definitely need more offense on the Seattle team. But, I mean, I've seen guys who are on teams with little or no offense, and they could still hit 300 and, have put up monster numbers, you know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. I mean, when you have a play like that, you know, Cano's supposed to be a superstar player. He should be, you know, able to carry a team.
Exactly.
You know, at least a month or two. Obviously, he's going to have some time slumping. But a guy like that, he should be carrying that team, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, we'll definitely see what happens, with the Yankees and, of course, the Mets and everything else, you know, in the world of sports. And shifting gears, let's talk a little WWE, man. Of course, you know, Monday Night Raw was a good Monday Night Raw. You know, you had the return of Charlotte Flair. You had the debuts of Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. And was there another one? I'm trying to think of that. I think that was about it. And now it looks like there's going to be a 3 women faction, you know, pitting, you know, going against each other with Sasha Banks' group, which is nicknamed Bad, I think. And it's going to have her, I'm trying to remember who, it's going to have her, Naomi and Tamina versus a Paige new group with Becky Lynch and I'm trying to remember who's the other one. Charlotte Flair. And they're going to go against Team Bella, which, of course, has the Bella Twins and, Alicia Fox.
Yeah, I'm excited that they've added, they've brought up these divas from NXT.
Oh, yeah.
It adds more parity to the divas division, because all you had within the last 6 months was Paige and the Bella Twins fighting against each other all the time.
Oh, yeah. And it's the same match, you know. The Nikki always finding a way to win. I mean,
yeah.
There was nothing, you know, newsworthy that's been happening these past couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Charlotte, I think, is going to be the one who's going to step up.
Oh, yeah. And you also have Sasha Banks, who's, you know, who's a real-life cousin with Snoop Dogg. I think she's still the current NXT champion.
She's on Naomi and
yeah.
She's on Naomi's team, right?
Yeah, Naomi and Tamina's team. Yeah.
Yeah. She's still currently the champion.
Yeah, I believe so. And you know, that's, you know, her nickname is the Boss, and you know, she's been working as a heel, doing a great job as a heel, you know, in NXT. So. You know, she's finally getting her big break. And then Becky Lynch, you know, she's a fan favorite down there as well. And there was rumors that another fan favorite from the Diva division, Bayley, she might pop. She was considered for, you know, debuting on Monday, but, you know, I guess they held off her debut off until, you know, the unforeseeable future.
Mm.
So I was really, you know, impressed with the debut and, you know, having Stephanie, you know, former, you know, women's champion, giving her support to, you know, a division she battled during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little touch. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do with this tomorrow night on Raw. And
They should have made a match for this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I guess they're going to wait until SummerSlam, I guess, to do that.
Yeah, most likely.
I guess build it up. But it was a great moment for the Divas division, you know. Especially with the exit, the retirement of AJ, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Paige was the only top face that's, you know, going on in WWE right now.
Yeah.
As a female. So that's, you know, interesting to see what they're going to do. If they're going to have an angle later tonight on the pay-per-view event. And also on the pay-per-view event, I mean, not on the pay-per-view event, rather on Raw last week. Man, they had a great triple threat match to see who's going to fight against Cena for the United States Championship, which is going to be defended tonight. On Raw, Cesaro, Rusev, and Kevin Owens, they competed in a triple threat until Kevin Owens, you know, use his noggin and, you know, realize, hey, he has a title shot tonight, so why even, you know, waste his time? So he left, and Rusev and Cena, I mean, not Cena, Cesaro, man, they had an epic match, man.
Yeah, that was good. Didn't they have also a good match against each other, like, earlier this year or late last year also?
Cesaro and Rusev?
Cesaro and Cena.
Oh, yeah, they've been, so Cesaro and Cena, yeah, they fought, they, after Cesaro, Rusev defeated Cesaro on Raw, Cena and Rusev fought each other for, like, the 800th time, and their first time since, like, a couple of months where, you know, Cena and Rusev was, you know, battling for the United States title, you know, when Rusev, you know, defeated Cena via disqualification, then he lost, like, what, the next three pay-per-view matches in a row after that.
Right.
And which, of course, is how Cena won the title, the U.S. title at WrestleMania. And I'm trying to think. You know, as a result, I mean, Cesaro would later defeat Rusev in a rematch on SmackDown this Thursday night. And that marked the first time Rusev, the second time in WWE history that Rusev has been defeated by pinfall after, of course, Cena defeated him at, you know, WrestleMania. And Cesaro,
right.
he was diving into the fans, you know, like Cena, when Cena won the first title, you know, Cesaro, you know, hopefully WWE is giving him a shot and hopefully make him be, a championship contending wrestler, you know, because the guy's talented. And, of course, tonight, the pay-per-view event is
Battleground.
And Ryback, his Intercontinental match was canceled because he got injured. So that's not going to happen. Let me see what other matches I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
You have R-Truth versus King Barrett.
R-Truth versus King Barrett. That's going to lead off the match. The pay-per-view event. Let me see. I think Barrett's going to win because it would make no sense for King Booker to win and he's not the, you know, when the King of the Ring, you know, shouldn't even be up for grabs, even though I am a R-Truth fan, but, you know, it would make no sense for, you know, that would, you know, water down the King of the Ring, a tournament that, you know, WWE haven't used in 5 years, which was arguably their top five pay-per-view event. So I think I would like R-Truth to win, but I think Wade Barrett's going to win. King Barrett is going to win.
I don't know. I think R-Truth is going to pull an upset tonight. I think R-Truth will become King Truth tonight.
Or King What's Up, as he calls himself.
King What's Up, yeah. I think he could pull an upset.
And let's see. Other matches, let me think. What other matches are there? I mean, oh, yeah, there's Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. And, man, I think Roman Reigns is going to win. Who do you think is going to win?
Roman Reigns.
I think Roman Reigns is going to win it as well. I'd be surprised if Bray Wyatt wins. If Bray Wyatt wins, and this is, you could say this is officially going to be a feud, a long-running feud, because.
Yeah,
I think Roman Reigns is going to win. Unless if they, but then again, they might face each other at SummerSlam, unless if he's fighting for the title.
Yeah, you got a point.
But yeah, that's I'm kind of on the fence on that one. But you know, I'm gonna pick Roman Reigns to win. You know, and Bray Wyatt needs to win a big match. That dude hasn't won a big match since he defeated Cena before their WrestleMania bout like last year.
That's true. Yeah.
I
wouldn't be surprised if he won tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He really needs the win, to be honest with you, because he's supposed to be the new face of fear, and he just mouthed right now. The way how WWE is using him, utilizing him lately, you know, he's just a bully that, you know, does riddles and then he gets his butt kicked. You know, unless if he's facing Dean Ambrose. Other than that, you know Cena or Roman Reigns, like, you know, the guys that, you know, WWE, you know, want, you know, as the champion, you know, Randy Orton, those kind of dudes, you know, he's not going to beat them.
Yeah.
In a big game match for the title, as of right now. But let's see, what else? Dean Ambrose, who's he facing? I'm trying to remember.
I don't think Dean Ambrose is fighting tonight. Is he?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
I don't think he's on this pay-per-view.
What the hell? That doesn't even make any sense. How are you not going to put Dean Ambrose on the pay-per-view?
What's that logic about? I don't know. Was he supposed to be in an Intercontinental title?
I don't think so. I don't even think the Intercontinental title is even on the line. Who is the Intercontinental champion?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Well, it was Ryback, but Ryback's not fighting tonight.
Oh, right. Yes, Ryback. Yeah, I did talk about that earlier on in this episode. Yeah, right, exactly. Ryback isn't titles on the line. I think he was going to face Big Show and I think Miz.
Oh.
In a triple threat match, but, you know, he's injured, so that's not going to happen. Let's talk about the main event. Oh, yeah. Before we go to the main event, primetime players are going to face the New Day again. And I'm guessing New Day is going to win the title again.
Yeah, I think they'll probably regain it tonight.
Yeah. That should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
And last but not least, the heavyweight title. Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. And I am thinking that even though WWE wants us to think Brock Lesnar is going to win, and my mind is telling me Brock Lesnar is going to win, my intuition is telling me that Seth Rollins is going to find a way to screw with Brock Lesnar, and then he's going to end up losing. And you want me to tell you how? Maybe he's going to have some help that he, because all his help that he had with the Authority is hurt. Kane has a broken ankle, and then Seth Rollins attacked him in the ankle, basically finishing his alliance with Kane. And of course, Brock Lesnar demolished the card that Seth Rollins gave J&J Security, and then of course Brock Lesnar assaulted both J&J Security members, and now they're both out for God knows how long. His Authority guys are basically gone. So I'm thinking WWE's gonna surprise us. Maybe have Bray Wyatt or maybe Sheamus reform a new Authority. Maybe add Big Show back into the Authority. I don't know how he left. I mean, Big Show was originally part of the Authority, and they never explained why he was gone. After he was gone, it's like he was out of the Authority, and they never explained why.
Right.
So he might return, and I think that's what's going to cause Brock Lesnar to lose his rematch.
I think Rollins is going to win this one by disqualification or countout. No, actually, yeah. He's not going to win. I think Brock Lesnar will win by disqualification or countout. Something's going to happen where he's going to win it, but he's not going to win it cleanly.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. Like, yeah. I think Seth Rollins is going to walk away as the champion because, he's going to have outside help, whether it's Bray Wyatt or Big Show or somebody we don't know who's going to be part of the Authority, because all the other members of the Authority, other than Triple H and Stephanie, they're all hurt.
Right.
So I'm thinking they're going to reform a new Authority members and attack Brock Lesnar. And then after that, Brock Lesnar will win the match, but he won't win the title because of disqualification, or the referee will be distracted somehow, and Seth Rollins will get the win, due to outside interference. So either way, I think Seth Rollins will unfortunately yet again walk away and still become the current, the reigning, the defending, undisputed, the world heavyweight champion. And that's what I think is going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. What about Kevin Owens into the Cena match?
Oh, yes, for the U.S. title. Now, that's something that's worth seeing. And, of course, I think Kevin Owens is going to win it. He just lost his NXT title to Finn Balor at the Japan Beast in the East special event they had at 4th of July. And I think Kevin Owens is going to win the U.S. title tonight.
I could see it. Yeah, I could definitely see him winning the title.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And if I'm not mistaken, John Cena said if he loses the title, he's not going to get a rematch clause. So we'll see what happens. He said this months ago, like when he first won the title. I think, but it might have been just against Rusev, because he did say that around the time he was feuding with Rusev. So maybe it might be just against Rusev. He wasn't going to cash in his rematch clause, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Or maybe they might have a rematch at SummerSlam. Next month, who knows? So many possibilities, so many uncertainty. Until tonight, we find out what happens at Battleground, and tomorrow at Raw, where there's rumored to be a legend that's supposed to return tomorrow night, and two other legends are rumored to appear at the SummerSlam. I won't spoil it for you guys. I'll let you know, after SummerSlam if it was true or not. But apparently, you know, these are two Hall of Famers, and one of them is a guy who's been in you know, WWE for over a decade. I'll just leave it like that. And you have any last words?